So, Mr. McClain, what are you smoking today, sir?
I have a Pissed Off Christoph. It's nice, a little bit of bite to it.
Mm-hmm.
Creates a lot of smoke because the wrapper's so oily.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the name.
Mm.
Kind of a great way to close out the day. Because you've been pissed off all day.
Yeah. That's one that I actually don't smoke.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
I do.
My palate does not allow me to go above medium plus.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It doesn't. It's not really bitter, but about halfway through. Those, when people come in and say, yeah, I need something to knock me upside the head, I usually direct them to that cigar. You have that same experience with it or no?
No. No. It's not that. I smoke a lot, though. So
yeah. All right. It depends on the palate.
Full stomach. Yeah.
Okay.
I know better.
Well, as do I, which is why I don't smoke it.
There you go.
All right, got you. I know my wheelhouse. And, sir, what are you pairing it with today?
This is vodka cranberry.
Okay.
Very nice, very refreshing. Can't go wrong.
So, with that in mind, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Because most people, when they smoke cigars, they always, you know, the model, if there is a model.
Right.
And, of course, we break models here, so this is okay. But it's usually something brown, something dark to go with the cigar. Do you find that drinking non-dark whiskeys changes the flavor or the effect of your cigars any?
I think it depends on the flavor profile of the cigar.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a medium to mild, I find that dark liquor will overpower the cigar and you'll taste more of the liquor,
mm-hmm.
Which can get you in trouble,
mm-hmm.
because you smoke it a lot faster. Generally, I go with a tequila because, you know, it stays true and, you know, it's nice and bright on my palate and allows me to really taste the cigar.
Okay.
But today I felt like a little something different.
Really? So if you had a preference, if you were just going out with a bang and you was like, what am I going to drink? What are you going to drink?
Tequila.
Tequila?
Yes, sir.
All right, got you. All right. Well, in that vein,
I'm going to go with what I'm smoking
and drinking today. So I'm smoking a Esteban Carrera today. It's one of the anniversary cigars. It's once again in my wheelhouse. It's a medium body blend. There was nothing that really jumped off and shocked me and bumped me upside the head with the palate today on this cigar, but it's just nice and mild and easy. It was a great draw. The retro, I didn't get any burning or any eyes watering on it. I couldn't pick up anything real distinctive on it, but, you know, I have an immature palate, so I'm not one of these guys can pick up like 30 different things. I got like 5 things that I can pick up.
I think sometimes they make that up.
Well, that's another podcast for another day. I've been told that they don't. But, yeah. So, and of course, I don't drink, so I'm pairing mine with just a simple water with some lemon and lemon lime. So, yeah, I'm keeping it really basic, which is a great palate cleanser.
That's right.
If you ever wanted to cleanse your palate, I never got to my signature drink today. So, we're going to hop right in it. You ready? How you feeling?
I'm ready.
All right. So, the title of today's podcast was just simply The Ghettofication of Cigar Lounges. I don't know if I necessarily agree with the title, but, you know, it draws attention. And I put it specifically in the title because of an article. So we're going to reference the article first, and then if it's okay with you, we'll discuss it, see what your thoughts are on your points. As usual, we invite you guys to, you know, just chime in. You know, I can read your comments here live, and you're welcome to just chime in with us. Let us know what you think on it, because I do see a lot of the people on here right now are people who are cigar lounge smokers. So if I talk, you're going to get bored, or I'm going to say something to offend or piss off somebody. I have like an 18-minute window before I piss somebody off.
The filter runs out.
Yeah, James is a lot more savvy than I am, so you can probably listen to him a lot longer.
I wouldn't go that far.
What's your window? You got a window?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Nah, you got more than 5 minutes.
Especially if I'm saying it again.
Really? All right. So we don't want to talk for the next hour. We really invite you guys to chime in, and we can look at some of your comments and read them out and see how it goes. So what I'm going to do is set a baseline. I'm actually going to read the article. So... I'm gonna make sure I enunciate my vowels as I tell my daughters, and try to make sure y'all don't know that I'm just working with a 12th grade education here. So it was an article that came out back in December, a blog called Put Some Smoke in the Air. Here it is, so I didn't make it up. And essentially it was at PSSITAMag.com, and they basically said, are we ghettoizing the cigar lounge experience? So he goes on to start with, it's a Saturday evening and you want to enjoy a good stick, some scotch, and engaging conversation. You heard your favorite cigar lounge to chill. Upon arrival, though, you hear the music from outside. Thump, thump, thump. Did I pull up to the wrong spot? Seems like it's cracking up in that joint. There's a DJ. He's spinning ghetto, some ghetto drop it like it's hot.
Blog ghetto.
Yeah. You know. He's dropping something hot. Whoa. You've probably seen this very phenomenon before. A lot of cigar lounges are catering to the party scene. They're generating revenue, by the way, by having DJs and live music, birthday parties, and turning the classic lounge into a club for a night or two each week. Now, you can't knock anyone's hustle, but has it come to this? Should we call this progress, or are we ghettoizing the culture? When you think of a cigar lounge, you think of a relaxing environment with low-playing music or even TVs playing a sporting event. The conversation may get lively, but that's fine. It's always been an environment to exchange ideas, share a story, or simply fellowship. A more serene place where a man can think and engage in some meaningful conversation with his fellow brother and sisters of the leaf. This is hard to do with the DeAndre with the DeAndre and his crew celebrate a birthday with the turn up. We popping bottles at the cigar spot now? He goes on to say, I've literally seen this before. Are we confusing a cigar lounge with a nightclub? Slowly turning a smokehouse into the trap house. Is our need to party as a community damaging the sanctity of a good smoking environment? The few in America, I might add. The dilemma. I appreciate a good party, and I appreciate a good cigar lounge, but we can't confuse the two. One is a place to celebrate, kick it up a notch, let loose, and feel the music. The other is a place to relax, unwind, fellowship, and share thoughts, and even create. We can't let our penchant for the turn-up ghettoize the regal and elegant setting of the cigar lounge. We must remember this thing of ours is a hobby of luxury and sophistication, once afforded only to dignitaries, royalty, and ambassadors. Who are we to reduce it to a party favor? Who are we to meld this imperial environment with the sweaty, heart-thumping, excessive, alcohol-induced club scene? But I digress. The DJ is about to turn up. All right.
And he's going in.
Yeah. So that was the podcast that came out. Not the podcast, but the blog that came out. I remember it circulated when it came out, and it generated a lot of dialogue, enunciate my vowels. And I figured today would be a good day to discuss it. So I'm going to throw the baton to you, sir. Maybe you could just give some background. We know you've been smoking for a long time. Let me ask you, do you travel and go to a lot of different cigar lounges?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
About the article, you know, it's really interesting when you think about your local cigar lounge, club, you know, establishment, whatever you want to call it. And the title of ghetto, I think, is a little harsh.
Mm-hmm.
That's first and foremost. Do I think that the dress, the distinguished person that normally would attend the lounge,
mm-hmm,
might be put off by a thumping DJ, you know, maybe somebody looks a little bit shady?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Has it changed? Absolutely. As the income level increases,
mm-hmm,
different people are going to have access to different things.
Do you think it's a change for the better or the worse?
I think that it can become bad. Mm-hmm. So I was at a club in Houston.
Okay.
And I walked in, and I was out on business, and I just come from my meetings or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and they greeted me, right? Cuz they don't know. It's a lounge, but right. They don't know who I am. They've never seen me before. Offer me a seat, mm-hmm. drink. It was great. Great time. Light my cigar. Can get anything for you.
Gotcha.
You name it. A couple of days later, I go in. I got my jeans on. Sweatshirt, right? Because I'm getting ready to get on the airplane in a few hours. Mm-hmm. I just want to go have a quick smoke. Totally different experience. So when you sort of change the atmosphere, it definitely creates a different type of person. Mm-hmm. I might have reacted a little differently if I didn't know any better.
Okay.
Right? I mean, there are still places in this country where you can't walk into that place without a sports coat on. Right? So, and
so what are your thoughts?
And on I that? Like those places.
Okay, so you like, well, you have a sports coat on today.
Right.
You fit in. But I'm going to throw the curveball at you. Okay. Let's just say, you know, it was dressed down Friday at uh-huh. the office. Okay. So you just have your khakis on and a polo shirt, or you're coming from the golf course. You like to play golf.
Well,
and now they're going to deny you entrance because you don't have a jacket.
Well, so two things. Okay. If I'm coming from the golf course, I got on a polo.
Right.
And some khaki shorts or khakis.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So, and guess what? I can't go play golf with a t-shirt on either. So there's rules to this.
Okay.
Right? Again, I think that it becomes difficult because as business owners, you know, you're trying to generate income. So mm-hmm. you have the party. Generally, when the music is playing, you sell a lot more liquor. It's less about the cigars, right? And I think what the message has to be is the ability to communicate what's going to be happening when. On Saturdays, don't show up because there's going to be a DJ. There's a different crowd. Mm-hmm. You got nightclubs that are the same way. You got restaurants that are the same way. You know, you have in order to communicate that to the people who frequent a lounge or expect something, mm-hmm. then they show up. They're not disappointed. They're not, you know, caught off guard.
Right.
But to the neo that shows up, mm-hmm. you're gonna get an article like this.
Well, and so let me just say my personal view on it is. Ghettoizing is a nice inflammatory term, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. if we use inflammatory terms, this is marketing, right? Mm-hmm. It creates dialogue. People will comment. It creates emotion. So I'm gonna use that as a synonym for urban.
No, not even.
Not even?
No, it's ghetto. It's ghetto. It's ratchet. It's out of control. People getting drunk, clothes hanging off of them, acting up. That's what really? That's what that word means.
Yeah, but that's so, not.
But I'll take it. I'll take it a different.
That's not, go ahead.
On a different
ahead.
Swing. Uh-huh. You know, when the hillbillies come out to smoke, and they you know just walk back from hunting.
Yeah.
Or they stinking. Yeah. They, you know, they chewing tobacco. Mm-hmm. You know, the people don't want them in the club either.
That's a good point. Touche. I don't think there's been a blog written about hillbillies though coming back out from the woods because you know if you know anything about. Deer hunting, a lot of times they're putting some deer piss on themselves because they want to mask. People don't know that. You want to mask the human smell. You want the deer to be comfortable with them. But I'm going to stay away from them guys because they got guns, long range.
Lots of them.
Yeah, they long range.
They hit us you know. Across the street.
Yeah, exactly. If I piss off anybody else, you got to walk in. At least I got a chance to go running high. I'll be sitting here smoking a cigar, you know, whatever. But so here's where... For the sake of discussion, right, and I'm going to try to, you know, keep my emotion out because I am a cigar lounge owner. And
yes, you are.
The vast majority of, I'm going to say 80, 85% of our membership is African-American or minority, right, which this speaks to.
But why is that?
Well, that's...
Are we the only people that live in the ghetto?
Actually, this isn't the ghetto. This is, you know...
I mean, but using that term, right?
Well, the term is inflammatory. That's why I want to get away from the term.
Okay.
It's inflammatory, but so I want to use the term urban, but you won't let me.
I don't want it.
All right. Fuck it. Ghetto, right? You know?
Because that's what they're talking about.
Right, that's what they're talking about. So people out there, I don't see a bunch of commentary. What do you guys think? Ghetto, was that inflammatory, or is it really turning them ghetto, or is it just ghetto as a way to be able to say that the industry is becoming more urban? Because the way I look at it is the industry is becoming more urban, right? You know, you have, we had the old boy way of doing things. Oh, I shouldn't say that. We had the traditional cigar lounge over the past 20, 30 years. I've been smoking for over 20 plus years. I would go into the cigar lounge. They were all the same, right? Mm-hmm. They were wood paneled. Mm-hmm. You had a TV or two, dark oak or something, big leather chairs. Now, I would go with the big leather chairs. That's just my budget. Can't afford those right now. But they usually had the big leather chairs or whatever. It was no music playing. Or if it was something on a TV, it was golf.
Right.
You know, and it might have been baseball or and a poker table somewhere.
Yep.
Somewhere was a poker table. That was kind of like the model over the past however many years that I used to go visit. Now, I didn't visit as much as you did, but you know, you do a lot of traveling, so you visit a lot more cigar lounges than I do, so you have more experience. But based upon my experience, that kind of was the model, right? And then now, you know, I decided to open a lounge because a lot more people like us, and I usually was probably the only brother in there, as probably you were in a lot of those.
That's right.
Yeah. If it was going to be one, it might as well be
unless,
us.
Unless I was in, like, you know, Charlotte.
Okay.
Nice lounges in Charlotte.
Right.
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Nice lounges. Yeah.
Okay.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that what people are expecting, there is a level of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Where you feel as though you know, they treat it like their living room, so I can dress like whatever.
Right.
And as we, as business owners, allow that to happen, other people are going to see that, and they're going to come in even more relaxed, possibly. You know, those things can happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are, again, and I love to reference ultra lounges.
Right.
You know, there is a space for everybody.
Right.
And if you don't fit in that space, you go find something else. Unfortunately, you know, in Delaware, we're very limited, you know, to what we have. So, again, as a business owner, you have to, you know, you accept a little bit. You know, somebody comes in out of control, or, you know, they walk in with a hoodie and a half mask on, you're not going to let that fly.
No, we don't let
you
that
feel
fly.
Me? Yeah. So, there are cutoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as when a DJ is here and they're playing the music, if it gets too loud, can you turn that down a little bit? I mean, I've been in places and lounges where the music was a little too loud, and people were like, hey, you know, we're here to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on a Saturday night at 11 p.m.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Saturday night at 11 p.m. is a different.
Right, right.
You know,
there are absolutely, you know, marks that would allow for change. We just have to communicate it. And when somebody writes an article like that, it's just to create that dialogue, because yes, it has changed. It has become a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes when I'm in a lounge and it gets a little edgy, as we like to call it.
Okay.
Now, it could be edgy with all suits. It could be all gangsters in there.
Yeah, I've seen some edgy drunk people with a bunch of suits on and
guess
Mercedes
what,
out front.
Guess what?
The alcohol ain't got to be too much. And we sometimes devolve into the lowest common denominator.
Don't we?
Which is...
Don't we?
You can take us out. You can take us out the hood, but the hood is always in our back pocket.
Please,
right?
Don't make me get live in here. Exactly.
No, I'm just saying. You know, I just think ghetto, and I think most of the people I'm looking at now. Ty says depends on it. Jen says it was on purpose to talk about black smokers. Black Widow says everyone wants to say more black folks are coming to the cigar lifestyle, which I agree. Karen says, are we doing it to cater to our clientele? And William Davis, who's also DJ Sonic, says, just because you have a DJ does not make it ghetto. We've been to white bars with DJs. It all depends on the clientele of the cigar shop, which you spoke to, and that the DJ promotes. And Karen, of course, says, ghetto's informed. Jax Jr. says, what are you looking at in the industry? Some people reason are different. And Tiff says, definitely targeted black. So that's where I'm going to go.
We did it now.
Right. So, but no, because the ghetto-wising was, I think, inflammatory. But I'll say, well, it was a reference to us because the fastest growing segment of the industry is minority people now.
Absolutely.
In the cigar industry.
Absolutely.
And so the fastest growing subsegment of that are black women minorities, which is the fastest growing sub. That was one of the reasons why we decided to open up a lounge. So when you have... urban minorities come into any industry, I think there's always going to be some pushback, and there's going to be some resistance to the way things used to be. But typically, through time, they always wind up, this is going to be inflammatory, so forgive me.
Be careful.
Stealing our culture. So I'll just go back and say, hey, listen, you know, in the beginning, well, cigars, it was rap music. Well, wait, rap music was the
even
was,
with cigars, though. Cigars is a stolen thing, you know. We were smoking cigars and tobacco because it's all we could get, all right? The thing about it is, again, as income changes, you have more access. Mm-hmm. People have more access to things, you know, and this is a luxury item.
Right.
You know, you're basically taking $8 and up and setting it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, that's...
You're taking $20 and you light it on fire.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ability for us to get something out of it, you know, maybe some brothers, you know, some business opportunities, because we don't play golf mm-hmm. as much, but we right. can come to the cigar lounge and parlay mm-hmm. and create opportunities that way. So, there's a little bit of disenfranchise to say... You know, we want to make it so that it's bad, mm-hmm. right? But I'm gonna take it a step further though. We have to police ourselves, because again, if you come into the lounge, right, okay. the way you act on the street, if you from that life, you can't act like that in the lounge. And the reason why is because you hurt the lounge.
True, you could offend some people, or you could turn some people away.
You could hurt the lounge. The lounge gets shut down.
Well, yeah, if you're doing some stuff you shouldn't do.
And you know, just having an opportunity, I'm sure some of the folks have seen me around, having an opportunity to see where things got dicey at times. You know,
somebody said you straight ghetto. Chad, so you straight ghetto. They call you all soon. Right,
here we go.
Chad, there you can see. Go. But he got the suit on and the jacket and the nice watch. And yeah, so
we
you
do
know.
Not forget where we came from. But what I'm saying is that we have to, you know, it's just that communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a DJ night. That right. don't mean it's ghetto. This person was trying to spark a fire.
It's
urban because it's in a city.
Right.
That's it. Because if you go to Manhattan, that's urban.
Mm-hmm.
Them lounges is a lot different.
Yeah. You feel but me? Then they have some, well, you go to the Bronx, you go to Brooklyn, you go to the other boroughs, and the lounges are more respective of their communities.
Everybody can come.
Right.
You just have to govern yourself.
See, my thought process is with this, let's be honest, the industry is changing.
Absolutely.
Right? It's changing because minorities are coming in. Now, we come in, we got our own flavor. I'll go back to the hip-hop genre. You know, used to be hip-hop music was this, that, and the other. They wanted to, you know, kill N.W.A. And now they're using Snoop Dogg is selling. Snoop was about as ghetto as it was with his music. He's selling, what is it?
Well, because
Coke, Pepsi, money, Mountain Dew,
money,
or something.
Money doesn't have a color.
Right, exactly, because it appeals to it. You got people selling potato chips, wrap snacks, stuff like that. So why would that be any different in the cigar industry? We're here now. We're not going anywhere. And I'll just say, you know, in particular here, you as an owner, you know, you try to, at least I try to, I'll just say I try to cater to my clientele. So, you know, we do have what I always like to say, events. Events do what? They generate traffic, you know, and they generate revenue, and they keep the doors open, they keep the lights on. Events right now are our biggest driver. I would love to tune down some of the events and just have a lounge full of people 5 days a week, but that's just not the case here at E Squared. However, we have events, we're standing room only.
Well, and I think that's the challenge. I mean, again, as a mm-hmm. business owner, you have to turn a profit. You got to make money. So you're going to do what you got to do. I mean, if you were to switch it around and, like, you know, hypothetically, if you were sitting up in Hocastle
mm-hmm.
and you charge, you know, $1,000, $1,500 a year to come in here and smoke, and, you know, it was catered,
mm-hmm.
and it was always, the lights were always dim, you had the, right. the oak, guess what?
You
wouldn't have that group.
Right.
Now that's not to say, again, that black folks don't have money, because we do.
We do.
And you and
well, you do. I don't.
If you Let's not if get you if you set you that do. If you set but that yeah. stage, you might bring those people in. See what I'm saying? So as a business owner, it's mm-hmm. a hard road. You know, you definitely get into a space where you have to turn that profit. You just can't lose. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the well-heeled people, right? They're going to buy from the discount place. They're going to come in and have a drink to bring their smokes with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a way to grab them, you can't really, parlay with them. Those are the ones you can't go after them because they're not going to make your money.
Right.
But the folks that are used to that life fast, let's call it a fast life, mm-hmm. Tomorrow's not promised. I might come in and drop $500-$600. Easy. And not sweat it. I might come in and buy a bottle so me and my boys can drink and not sweat it or try to impress somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen.
Right.
Because that's
street knowledge. But then that's considered ghetto. If I'm coming in, let's just go by, based upon that, because he's saying the music is loud. I'm just using this stuff. In the past, it was a place where it was quiet. You could have some conversation. In this piece, the music is loud. It's the thump, 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 and the turn up is real. People, he said the word, popping bottles and stuff. Listen, if my demographics are 80% to 85% urban, well, right?
Yep.
If I'm in here and I got Lawrence Welk playing on the radio,
They ain't coming in.
They're going to come to your place. Or they're going to go to somebody else's place.
Unless you got, it depends on the talent that you have.
I'm saying Lawrence Welk ain't going to fly here.
They're not going to listen to the music if it's a different type of talent.
If they come in here on Sunday to be NBA Sunday, and I got tennis and the golf channel on all 8 of my TVs, they're going to look at me like, yo,
what you doing?
What are you doing? Right. This is not what we came here for. We came here to watch the NBA, which is 95% black league. You know what I mean? We came here on Friday night. Yo, put some... I literally have people that come in and says to me, the music isn't ratchet enough tonight. And if you go to my playlist, I have Cardi B.
How does that make you feel, though?
Listen, if it's making you comfortable and it does not offend my other patrons, I got Cardi B up there.
You said something really important, though. If it doesn't offend
my other patrons. Yeah.
Right. Because you could have somebody in here that's, a lifelong for the business
mm-hmm.
person that's in here, and the money that you earn on them over time far out reaches the money that person that's coming in and wants, some ratchet music.
Right, so that comes back to us as a business owner.
Right.
You have to be able to see, we're going too far left now, because, we have to see as a business owner the value to the lounge.
I know.
Certain customers have certain value to the lounge. Members in East Square get first priority. If the members say, hey, I want to watch NBA on the big TV, and a guest says, hey, can you put hockey on? I'm going to put hockey on, but it's going to go on one of the alternate TVs. It's not going to go on the big TVs.
Well, that's an opportunity to upsell. Because
members.
They can become members, right?
Yeah, members become it. But, I always like to say, we're East Square, and I say this proudly, when I read this, we're kind of like in the middle. We have, I always say, two turn-ups and a turn-down. The first Friday of every month, we got a DJ. We got, cigar manufacturer. We got food. The music is definitely loud. It's urban music, right? The third Saturday of the month, we have the live band. Live band always look as a turn down because it's usually jazz, neo-soul. You have the grown and sexy. If you ever look at any of our promo stuff, a lot of the things I say is grown and sexy because I'm trying to attract and draw a grown and sexy crowd. Right?
Right.
And then the end of the month, the last Friday, we had the birthday parties, which has started to become actually the biggest turn up and the biggest profit maker of the entire month.
Right.
The DJ music is so loud on first Fridays, I had to tell him to turn it down because the bass was knocking out my security camera.
But that's the dilemma.
Some might consider that if you walked in on the last Friday of the month.
I'd be like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
That's right.
But some people might look at that as being ghetto or urban or black when we're just celebrating our own. If you were here and you're celebrating a birthday, you probably...
Okay, I get that. I get that part. But I'll throw a cookie in there then. Mm-hmm. So if there was a, let's say, a group of Asian Americans, big spenders, moved in across the street.
Right.
And they love cigars and sake. And there's, 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear every Wednesday and Thursday. Taking over the lounge.
You had to say Wednesday, right?
Wednesday and Thursday.
You had to say Wednesday.
And they spending money, right? I'm gonna have to respect that as a businessman and understand that
they have good value to the language.
Right. So I think it's a tough balance, but it's definitely something that has to be recognized. Again, it's our communication mm-hmm. with our crowd to say, hey, listen, if you're not about this music, you know, don't show up on Saturday.
Right.
If you like Lawrence Welk, come through on Monday.
Don't come through because we're not playing Lawrence Welk here. It might be Steely Dan,
Bon Jovi, whatever. But I mean, as a business owner, you have to respect that. You know, a consumer, I come in. If it's not for me, it's not for me.
Exactly.
Because there's a lane for everybody, and you can't. We're not selling ice cream.
Right.
We can't please everybody all the time.
So I'll come back on that. And Nick, good to it. Nick is a great example. So Nick comes here and
No Lawrence Welk.
But Nick is part of my early afternoon political debate crowd. Right? Oh. They come in, we sit down. Our motto is no politics, no religion. but you know, Nick and his crew, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They come in, we sit down, we talk, and we kind of have at least a baseline, which is we can disagree without being disagreeable. But Nick will tell you, when Nick comes in here with his buddies and stuff, and Nick, if you can't tell from his photo, he's a white Greek guy, you know, and his buddies are white guys as well. We're not playing DJ Khaled. I don't know what I have on, Nick. Usually I have, I don't know.
Some jazz.
I have some jazz bluegrass. On, or I'll have no bluegrass. No. Shit, one time we had Megadeth. He is one of my chambermates. He was like, oh, can we play Megadeth? I said, I handed him the phone. I said, if anybody says anything, we'll change it back. But if nobody says anything, put Megadeth on. So we have a great cross-section because I believe it's my responsibility to make everybody coming here feel comfortable. However, why is it if I got Steely Dan on in the daytime and then at 7 o'clock I put on, I don't know, Lil Wayne, within 4 hours I go from a traditional cigar lounge to a ghetto cigar lounge? That in and of itself, just that trend. I'm the same person, same location. My demographic, though, just changed, right? Because, you know, Nick and his crew will leave about 7 or 8 o'clock, and we've had a good afternoon. They came in at 3. It was a good 4 hours. And now, you know, the other crowd is coming in, and they want to turn on Wednesday, because we do turn up on Wednesday nights. That's what I mean when I say they have to be accepting of all of us. And I think the whole, with this guy, and I'm not talking about you, but what this gentleman is writing about is people who remember the old way of doing things and maybe are a little resistant to the influx of minorities and capital and the I always say the flavor that we bring.
Which is why the word was used, right?
Right.
Because I remember there's a restaurant on the riverfront that I would frequent a while ago, and you know, I'd go there, and around 5 o'clock, the crowd would change. So when the crowd changed, I'd get up, go somewhere else,
right?
Because it was a different crowd, and mm-hmm. you know, I didn't want to be around that crowd because it was a little bit louder. I couldn't mm-hmm. hear when I was talking, so I'd move on
right. And
respect it. I'm not gonna talk bad about the place. I'm not gonna call it ghetto-fying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that was just to power the pen,
right?
Create the conversation that we're having right now. But again, business is business,
right?
If you got people that like hip hop, hardcore hip hop or trap music,
mm-hmm.
and they spend a lot of money,
well, you know, I want to go back to the money part. It would be like, if that's what they want, if that's what they want to make them feel comfortable. And look, man, Bill, yo, you better bring that subwoofer with you when you come. Karen is over here. You know, she like to get out there and dance. The subwoofer get them on the floor. But at any rate, yeah, no, I just really
but
think.
Let's say, ahead. If they weren't spending any money and they were asking for that, if they were just hanging out.
If it made them feel comfortable. If you're comfortable, you know, and it's not offending anybody else, then that's just the way we are. But we have our model. Don't give me that. Look, we have our model. And our model is simply, we're a black-owned cigar lounge where 85% of our members are black, 30% of our members are women, Right. So like one third of our members over there are women workers. I mean, women workers. Women
I
members.
I don't know where that was going.
Yeah, I mean, either. So, you know, we play spades. Spades is usually an urban or jail game. If you went to jail or you was in the military, bro, you know how to play spades?
Yes, sir.
See, there you go. This guy don't even know what we're talking about. But you know how to play spades. We play pinochle. We play dominoes. I'm going to take that little, because that's what our demographic wants.
Right.
Now, not to sound racist or anything like that, I bet if I went down to South Florida or something like that, they probably got some dominoes somewhere in the lounge.
Yeah.
If I go up to, we have a member from Syracuse, New York, when he says he goes back to Syracuse, they probably have a poker table in the lounge because they're making their... they're trying to make their customer base feel comfortable in the lounge, which continues to get them to come in.
And that's what you're supposed to do.
But should that be termed ghetto or urban?
No, it shouldn't.
Do you think the change is negatively impacted the industry as a whole?
In some places, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, those folks in instances, sometimes they are... it's a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. They come out for a little while, they spend a little money, and then they're gone. And then your regular customers that were actually generating the, you know, sustainable income, they don't come back.
they've
shifted and moved somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That they're more comfortable. So it is absolutely to the owner to be able to control the atmosphere.
Right.
Right? And that comes down to the communication of what's going to be going on. Mm-hmm. If you got regulars that come in, and then, you know, they go away for a little while, and then they come back, and all of a sudden you got, you know, Lil Wayne, because we used him, playing all the time. If you're not communicating with those folks that are spending money, mm-hmm. that's your fault.
Yeah,
as a business owner, that's on you. But also, if you change directions and you're shifting, that's fine too, because it's your business. It's not ghetto. It's just a change in demographic, mm-hmm. and it is. However way we want to slice it, it's different. You know, some people come and drop their entire paycheck on a Saturday. That's what they do.
Come to East Square, 3616 Kirkland Highway.
Other folks, they're going to come in and they're going to buy one or two cigars and a drink, and mm-hmm. that's it.
I would recommend that Man of War anniversary stick right here. Yep. You into the pistol, Christoph.
The pistol, Christoph.
Yeah, James got the last one.
Sorry about that, bro.
Anniversary stick is a good stick. See, you guys can tell we live here at East Square. So, to get back to it, let's take the Syracuse thing. You know, Kevin, shout out to Kevin, White Chocolate, we call him. We gave him a nickname. He's here so much. He's a cool guy from from upstate New York, white guy. He used to come every single night. I guess we wore him out. Now he comes every Wednesday. But his nickname around here is White Chocolate. And I know it sounds derogatory.
A little bit.
But you know what? We have a lot of fun with Kev. And Kev will give us his perspective from the other side. And, you know, it's just interesting. He's like, yeah, up in upstate New York in Syracuse, where he goes to cigar lounges, you don't have any of the things that we have down here. But does that make them racist because they don't have it, or us ghetto because we do have it?
I don't think it's either one.
Exactly.
I mean, it is just catering to the demographic that's in there.
Okay. So I'm going to go a little further, just for the sake of conversation. You're doing good, man. Listen, I'm enjoying this. This is completely unscripted. And I want to shout out, let me pause right here. I want to shout out Shirley over at Fire and Smoke. She was supposed to be on with us tonight. Normally, we're able to remote people in, and for whatever reason, Facebook will not allow me to be great. So I was not able to remote her in. So Shirley, I do apologize. I promise you I'll come down there and we can shoot another segment again from your lounge. And because you were gracious enough to decide to come in with us. So just due to technology. But we're going to go ahead and keep pushing on. There are a ton of comments. Chad says he thought he was White Chocolate. No, there's more than one, Chad. Rose says never leave the money on the table. And Valencia says Chad is hilarious. Troy, thank you, Troy, said he does a great job of accommodating, even though I'm an Eagles fan. Hey, But so I'll just say industry-wise, right? So now the industry has turned. Fastest growing sub-segment is minorities. And of that, women as well. So what has the industry done? Well, if anything, if the lounges are ghetto, then the industry is becoming ghetto because they've changed a lot of things to accommodate us. Lighters. When I first opened up, I bought all the traditional lighters that I've always seen. I have a group of ladies here, and they would sit at the table, and every week they would come in with a different lighter. And they would come in with their pocketbooks, with cigar pocketbooks.
You ever have anybody steal your lighters?
Yeah. They steal your lighter. Yeah, they steal my lighter.
And you know, that's not ghetto. That's just hood. You know, we're taking advantage of what we see.
Right? I don't know. Yeah, they do steal the lighters. Listen, that's why I just put the cheap ones out.
But look,
you know what I mean?
Look, I want to say this, though.
Go ahead.
So I've gone in the lounges, and they got the lighter chained.
Yes, I've been to lounges where lighters are chained as well.
Could you imagine? Come on.
Man, I'm just saying. We don't chain them here. However, one time I asked them, I was like, yo, you know, why y'all never buy our lighters? And they said to me, and I appreciate frank feedback because we take it to heart here, they was like, you got ugly lighters.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You don't have pretty lighters. And when I started looking at their lighters, they were like iridescent, mm-hmm. and they were more feminine, mm-hmm. and you know, one of them looked like a personal product, to be honest with me, but that's neither here nor there. They were purchasing them. And so what I did was I started buying more fancy, colorful, feminine-based lighters because the industry was changing to accommodate us.
So a long time ago.
Oh, can I finish this? You only got two brain cells, right? I'll lose the thought. And so let's look at cigars. So now you have cigars that come out. The cigars that I've noticed over the past 5 years are getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
We like that.
Yeah, some people like that. Traditionally, though, it was more flavor over strength. Could we agree on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
So they started, I think that was once again the urban influence because people come in here, they're like, yo, give me something.
That's not the urban.
I want a headbanger.
No, that's not urban.
Okay, we can debate that one. But I'll also go back to now look at some of the names of the cigars. You've got Superfly. Superfly the movie. It comes in a purple box with purple velour inside. You have Django now. Oh. You've got Rude Boy now.
I don't think she liked that one.
You know, I'm just saying. So now the manufacturers are starting to make things specifically targeting the urban community.
Let's not use that, though, because the industry has always bastardized the customers. They always do that. Right? I mean, that's just how they move on that end. The industry is all about green.
I'm sorry. You know,
I understand that. It's about business, which is what it all boils down to.
It's all about business. It's all about business.
You're trying to ignore me right now.
I'm not, because we actually live. Good to see you. I'm going to give you a fist bump, but I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up, because we live right now. How's that for urban?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And he dropped it.
Go ahead. But he said he was buying. Nah, there, Jack will help you out, man. Yeah.
Huh?
Jack will help you. Well, you guys see we do it live. Cigars and Combos live at East Square is literally done live. And it's unscripted. But go ahead. Now, the floor is yours.
What I was going to say is, you know, the market has always just continued to push. When I was with, a long time ago, I used to market NASCAR credit card.
Okay.
And we did an analysis on who had the buying power in the house. And, of course, it's always the
woman.
Women, right?
The woman, yeah.
So cigar smokers, they actually caught on late because as this lean-in thing started to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women, they smoke. And guess what? They control the purse.
They spend money.
So you'd be a fool to not cater to them. Because, you know, they're going to come out and smoke if they feel comfortable. Right? Mm-hmm. One of the reasons, one of the things, that's another. Catering to your members, catering to your demographic that's coming in.
Right.
If ladies like to come out to your lounge and smoke, that'll shift real quick. If every time they came in, people were harassing them, guys were harassing them,
mm-hmm.
right? You'd have to shut that down. That would be ghetto. That would be, you know,
a good business decision,
right? So I mean, it has continued to change. Cash provides access, the demographic is going to change. It's going to change the business. And some people are going to, for lack of a better term, they're going to age out. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There's a lane for them somewhere else.
Right.
You know, because as business owners, you got to make that money. And if that means having a great DJ, you know, twice a month, do it. Mm-hmm. And your members and patrons that come in, you know, frequently, they should respect that because they want you to be around. You got to do, if you don't want me to have a DJ, this is what you have to do to keep me here. And if you're not going to do this to keep me here, I'm going to have a DJ.
Just come the other 27 days of the month.
You know,
that, I mean, I always say the 27 days of the month, we are a traditional cigar lounge. Three, maybe four. Well, this month, I don't know. Sometimes we got four events this month. Please. Look, I'm shooting my issue. I'm just saying, I'm repping my brand. We got a spades contest this month. So, four events this month.
Sell. You know what I mean? Get out there and sell. Get out there.
If you've been in jail, or you've been in the military, or you've been in the hood from West Philly, you know how to play spades. Come on now. And it's probably going to be some urban music on.
No doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
But that's just, I am catering to my customer base. And I don't, you know, fault the lounges that, like we go to up in King of Prussia, I forget the name. But when I walk, they have a dominoes table right there when you first come in.
Okay.
And I don't play dominoes, but everybody, you know, most likely, most of the people come in play the dominoes table because I guess their membership enjoy dominoes.
Right.
You know, if we go to other lounges, they have poker tables. Down in Royal Leaf, they got a poker table upstairs because they're catering to their member. We don't play poker here.
But I'm thinking that this person doesn't go anywhere. Or maybe they have. Okay. Maybe the lounges that they're talking about are the lounges that they see on television in the movies a long time ago. Black and white, you know,
mm-hmm.
Waitress, martinis,
yeah,
cigar. You know, maybe that's what it is. But it continues to evolve. Mm-hmm. If it stayed the same, we would hate it. Because think about if you had big old leather chairs in here, how much space it would take up if you didn't have a space for your tabletops, yeah, right? And you had the oak bar that's wrapped all the way around, yeah, and you know 100 scotches, yeah, that nobody's drinking.
That nobody's drinking.
Right.
Tying up my revenue.
Right, because right, you know, folks don't like that. Yeah. I used to say they don't appreciate it. They don't like it because they're not into it. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not for them. So it changes. You have to continue to evolve. That person that wrote that, maybe, you know, maybe they're still dragging up.
But I think there are a lot of people that share his sentiments. And that's, I guess, why we're having this discussion today, because he is not the only person, you know. I know you and I have conversations about this, and, you know, not to put words in your mouth, but, you know, I remember we were talking a little bit about it, and you mentioned the bottles and maybe the saggy pants or jeans.
It's different.
And you know,
it's different.
You said a phrase, and so I'll give you credit for this that I've been chewing on. You said a phrase, why does urban have to equate to ghetto? Why can't urban equate to classy?
Well, because we don't own the word. We take it as something that's gonna slice at our core.
Mm-hmm.
When you say ghetto, you immediately think of slums,
right?
But, and that's probably why that word wasn't used. They didn't say urban, because urban is chic. Urban mm-hmm. is new, upcoming, vibrant. You know, that's what urban is.
And that's
it's
what we are.
It's cutting edge, right? But ghetto is not.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to try to prove a point and do it that way. Again,
mm-hmm.
our people, our clientele that comes in has to understand. They have to, and I continue to say it, they have to govern themselves.
Chad loves you, by the way. He's your biggest advocate right now. When you go back and
look, if you come to a cigar lounge, right, you have to have a certain etiquette. You know what I'm saying? When you're out on the street, you act a certain way.
Right.
When you come in here, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
As a business owner, you have to demand that respect. It's urban. It's not ghetto.
Right.
You know, you're not going to throw your trash on the floor. You feel me?
Right.
If you spill something, you're going to help clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's urban. Ghetto is me dropping it and keeping moving. Ghetto is me coming and opening up the humidor or leave it open. Right? Picking up cigars, putting them on my nose, whatever.
Molesting them.
Molesting them.
Putting them
squeezing
back.
Cracking them. Or saying, yo, you got
ooh,
something.
It smells good.
Right. That's
and then put it back, by the way. Yeah.
And that word, it kind of denotes the lack of class, Urban doesn't denote that.
Okay.
So that's why that was huge. Has there been a different flair? Absolutely. But when you come to the lounge, understand that even though you spend a lot of money, you should not be able to act a fool. I don't want to see you with bottles turning them up. I don't want to see that. You can buy 15 of them, pour them in a glass. Let's keep moving. I got glasses for you.
But my friend is shooting an Instagram video at the same time. Come here, I got to have my bottle turned up if we going live on IG.
And don't drop it. Why are you acting a fool? And that is the other thing that I can say that I like about the young G's that are coming up. They do have a level of respect that's when it's demanded. Mm-hmm. You know, so they won't have when they do come into groups and in droves, they're gonna respect your place.
Right.
But you have to command that respect. Mm-hmm. Because it can't be ghetto. It can be urban.
Right.
It can be cutting edge, it can be vibrant, but it can't be ghetto. You never come here, throw your trash, stick your gum on, you ain't gonna do any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's low class. We can't have it because you got a lot of product. They take a lot of money to keep these lights on. And while they want to come out and have a good time, that's respected. Come on out, have a good time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, keep it to a roar. We can play the music as loud as you want. You don't get too loud. Be careful.
Okay, got you. Well, I'll say that... you know, once again, it's we're getting a lot of comments. Thanks to everybody for all your comments. Yeah, we actually, yeah, Manhattan. Oh no, you don't want a Manhattan with Troy. He talked about his Manhattan. He's got like 45 different components to his Manhattan. It's not even a Manhattan. It's just a Troy. But we've got a lot of comments. Unfortunately, I couldn't get through all of them because James talks way too much. You know, but I will go back after this is over and read them and respond if necessary. Let me just see. Troy says, I've been to Black and White On and enjoy both, but E-Squared is home base. Thanks. A couple people said they steal lighters at pairings too, which is not a minority.
They steal them everywhere.
Yeah. Lit Torch Susie, shout out to Lit Torch Susie, says that's asset protection, man. But yeah, lighters get going everywhere. So you can't even call that ghetto because everybody's still lighters.
That's what I said, though.
Yeah,
I
mean,
that's a habit. That
that's
people,
not
that's,
unique to us. I don't know why y'all steal the lighters, but, you know. Don't steal the lighters. That goes for everybody. You know, let me see. I don't know. It's just there's so many. You know, Jen says they need to spend money or else the music shouldn't change. Way to go, Jen. That's right. Recognize the power. let me just see. Lit Torch Susie once again says she understands about recognizing and understanding the psychology of your consumers. Pat Matheny. I do like Pat. We play jazz here. Don't get it twisted. We have a model. Let me just go tell people the E-Squared model.
Oh, man, market it, man.
Yeah. So when I come in, I'm here every day. So sometimes I hate the place. So if I get here an hour before opening, I'm knocking it out. I ain't going to lie. I got some hardcore. I got some DMX, some Jay-Z. I'm listening to some hardcore hip hop because
I love hip hop.
I gotta get myself energized, right?
Right?
At 3 o'clock, when I flip that switch and I unlock the door, the music switch as well. It usually will go to some jazz, some neo soul. You know, Justin Timberlake. I actually enjoy all types of music.
Right.
So you know, it's usually that way, and we can let that go all day long. We don't always turn up. But we do turn up on Wednesday nights. We have a cigar social club, and Wednesday nights we like to turn up. You know, we do turn up on weekends. It's a Saturday now, right? So Saturday, you want certain energy in the lounge. So, you know, I'm playing DJ Jazzy Jeff. You know what I mean? But jazz, I got the curse words muted out. You know
Why?
What I mean? Because it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
So?
At 10 o'clock, I might unmute the curse words. You know what I mean? We get a lot of walk-in traffic.
People use profanity all the time.
I know,
what
but
the fuck
Saturday.
Is the fucking problem?
I don't know what the fuck is the problem, but here's the fucking problem, James. Is that you walking on Saturday because you're trying to buy 6 sticks, you know, to go golfing with your buddies.
Yeah. Motherfucker, get down before I shoot you.
Nigga, this motherfucker. And they're like, they're going to get those sticks, right? But they're never coming back. They're going to go to that second thing they Google. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know, but hey, You're going to have your core, you know, Cigar Lounge, just like any industry, you have your core customers, you have your core members, your core base is going to come in, you know, at 10 o'clock at night or whatever, and, right. and we're going to, you know, if necessary, right. you know, it just depends on, you know, what the people want, you know, but I think that the issue that so I'm in the middle. Let me just go on record and say I'm in the middle. I embraced the, that's why I'm in business.
Right.
I'm a black-owned, minority-owned business. 80% of my business come from people that look like me, not at the expense of people that don't look like me, but I would be a fool not to embrace that.
Right.
Secondly, you know, I actually enjoy some of the things that we bring because we bring a certain flavor into
anything that
we touch.
So tell me how you're in the middle,
touch.
Though. That don't sound like you're in the middle.
I'm great tight. You know what I mean? I never want to be a club that sells cigars.
Right.
I want to be a cigar lounge that has a turn up on occasion. And that's our model here. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the club. And the club that sells cigars is not limited to just black owned lounges. We want to stay away from that one. The biggest club around is probably not black owned.
Bruh. You're preaching the gospel.
I understand, but I just want to make sure you know that I'm, because we're coming to the end, I'm going to let you close this out because you're more eloquent than I am. But you know that, so I'm in the middle. Do I think it goes too far sometimes? Absolutely. You know, we do push that boundaries. We do push limits. That's what urban people do. That's what, you know, we do. We push boundaries. We push limits. Right. And sometimes, you know, we cross them. You know what I mean? We've had birthday party turn-ups here where we've had to bring the mop bucket out on multiple occasions because people can't handle their liquor. I'm not talking about you. You know what I mean? Is it pleasant? We like to do it. No, but it happens. You know,
they throw up in all types of clubs.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But you know, all in all, I'm happy with our model, and I think that you, like I say, come here 27 days or 26 or 25 days out the month, you're going to get a traditional cigar lounge. You know, 3-4 times a month, we are going to turn up, and we are happy to turn up because the turn up is what our people like. They come out, they support us, and they keep our doors open and our lights on. The turn up is what keeps us viable. You know what I mean? And I'd be glad when I get that equilibrium when it's 50-50. But the turn up right now, and we're coming on 2 years, is what keeps us viable. Is the turn up.
Yeah, you have individuals come and spend $600 in a night.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Not yet. Where's that $600 a night spender? Come on and visit us. And we do have people spend a couple hundred dollars.
I know you do.
In a night,
I know you do.
I don't think I had one bill for $600 yet. But so I'm kind of in the middle. You know, I do remember the old boy way of doing things, but I think the industry as a whole, going back to the cigars, the lighters, and things like that, are changing their business model because they want the urban dollar. But it would be hypocritical to say it's getting too urban when you're creating products based upon the new demographics. So that's kind of like where I am. If you're going to embrace this, you're going to embrace the new demographics, the change, then go ahead and embrace it. Look at it for what it is. And if you don't want to turn up, you know, then go find another lounge that's not turning up that night. But I think it's disingenuous to say, you know, we're ghettoizing or bastardizing the industry because we're bringing our own flavor to the industry, where the manufacturers are profiting right. off of the change in dynamics in the industry.
So I'll say, I'll actually piggyback off your last point. Manufacturers are always going to create the market. You know, they got a lot of people out here paying attention to what's going on. And, you know, if folks are willing to spend, they'll provide that market. Sometimes they get a little ahead of themselves and they lose. Sometimes they don't. I'll say, though, keep it classy. Right? I mean, we can have a good time. We can dance. We can joke around. We can be loud. But keep it classy. Because you don't have to be disrespectful. You know, I've seen some of the most, you know, bad dudes, classy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cats that will get you and you don't know they're coming type stuff. They classy. I've also seen some guys that, you know, are faking it. And they come in and they bring down the image of a place. As a business owner, you will always have to cater to your clients. You'd be a fool not to. You wouldn't be here much longer if you, you know, went the other model.
Right.
Unless you just got a whole pocket full of cash and you just continue to build until it finally gets there. And sometimes it does. I mean, we've seen it. Some lounges, they don't ever play loud music. And, you know, everybody's wearing a coat.
Mm-hmm.
The staff, they walking around, you know, in tuxedo shirts and pencil skirts. They out there.
Yeah.
There's a lane for everybody. And to your point, for all of the folks that are out there, you know, be knowledgeable of the lounge that you're going to. Show that respect to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look on the website, see what goes on when, so that you, when you get there, you're not disappointed. You don't show up on the wrong night, right? And that way everybody stays happy. Blogs don't come out like this because that person understands that on Saturday it's going to be a DJ. It's going to be loud. It's going to be people spending some good money, mm-hmm. and that's how it go. Every other day, come and chill, have your business meetings, you know, do some work, watch some television, watch a game.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be respectful of that owner, and that will prevent these types of articles from coming out.
Cool. All right, well, we've come to the hour. I do want to thank you, brother, for coming through. Can I get your brother a handshake?
Yes, sir.
We want to thank you for coming through and giving us your perspective on it based upon your years. I respect your years in the industry. Once again, shout out to my family down in FNS. I apologize we couldn't get you on due to technology. I want to thank everybody that tuned in to us today. We've got a ton of...
Chad.
Chad. You know what, Chad, I do. So, you know what? Pause right there. Chad, I'm going to give you the final shout out. So, Chad is a paint... Like, Chad is a guy that came in when we first opened. And he's not an urban guy, right? But he's cool. He's just a white
yes,
urban guy.
Yes, he is.
I know. He's just not black. It was just a wordplay. And so Chad came in, and we had ginger ale and Coke or whatever, and he said, you don't have Diet Coke. And I went out the very next day, and he came in maybe our first week of existence. And then you haven't been back since then, so I'm going to actually, you know, throw you to the carpet for that. But I went out the very next day, and we've carried Diet Coke since that day because of Chad's suggestion that we get it in. So we know we try to be all inclusive and accommodate everybody, you know, not one group over the expense of another. But I want to go back to thanking everybody for tuning in. Even you, Chad, you ain't urban, man. Stop trying to grab that. You know what I mean? But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And, you know, I'll ask that when you have a chance, you know, maybe reshare the broadcast, you know, you can do a watch party, share it amongst your friends or whatever, because numbers do matter, right? You know, we want to be able to get the widest audience as possible. And we will invite you guys to come down to the lounge if you want to continue the conversation. We're at 3616 Kirkwood Highway, Suite E as an Empress, Wilmington, Delaware, 19808, 7 minutes off of I-95. And come on down. We can continue the conversation. We can play some spades, some dominoes, some pinochle, some bidwist, or we can't play poker. You know, bar won't allow that. But some pity pat, whatever. But at the very least, we'll just close once again by saying thank you to everybody. And if no one has told you they love you today,
tell yourself.
Tell your goddamn self. It feels so much better. Peace. Thank you, brother.